Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I praise the Lord that you're able to join me and share this time together. We've been looking at some scriptures in the book of Genesis and contemplating what it means to be made in the image of God, what place human beings have in relation to God and His creation. And on yesterday's broadcast, we were looking at the very beautiful creation of man and woman, that God spoke all things into existence, but when it came to man, He formed man out of the dust of the earth with His own hands, and a woman was taken out of His side. He caused a deep sleep to come on Adam and took one of His ribs and created a helpmeet for Adam. And again, that's a beautiful phrase, that concept, helpmeet, because it means that it's the same terminology that is given to the Holy Spirit in the New Testament, that He is our helper, that God is our helper. So it's a beautiful concept of equality, but interdependence and interrelationship that God ordained for man and woman. So let's now look at verse 24 in Genesis, the second chapter, where it says, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they both were naked, and the man and his wife were not ashamed." That word "therefore" indicates there's a threefold process that is still binding today. And the Lord Jesus restates it, re-articulates it, if you will, in the New Testament. He says, first, a man shall leave his mother and father. So, obviously, that means that a child, a boy, has to grow up and become a man. He has to become his own man and then be joined to his wife. He gets married. And then that third step, they shall become one flesh. In other words, there is a beautiful divine sanction upon a unity that will come, marital unity and intimacy, which is the closest thing that we can relate to in human experience. The deepest, most beautiful of all relationships is compared to that of Christ and His church, as we see in the New Testament examples. So as the Father, Son, and Spirit are one, three persons, but one, they're one God, so the man and woman in marriage and in love and in unity are one. And verse 25, it's interesting, it says there's no shame. There's just intimacy and pleasure in the marriage. God made us, beloved, for relationships. And there are varying types of relationships, or four categories, if you will. First of all, there's our relationship to God, a theological relationship, if you will. And secondly, there's our social relationships. We relate to one another, to other human beings, in varying forms, family, friends, work associates, neighbors, that sort of thing. And then we have environmental relationships. We relate to creation and to the rest of the world that God has made, the animals, plants, trees, and so on. And then there's also another inward type of relationship, a psychological relationship, if you will, and that is we have a relationship with ourselves where we know we're made by God, that He loves us, that He speaks to us, and He created us to do certain things and not to do other things. All right? So these are the parameters of who man is, why he was created. And again, it is for fellowship with the Lord and to fit into God's beautiful plan of creation, to have dominion and rulership and fellowship with God. So where do we fit? Well, let's look at this question. Where is the place of human beings in relation to God and his creation? Well, Psalm 8, verses 5 through 8, are fairly specific. It says, "For you," referring to Jehovah, "have made him," man, "a little lower than the angels," the King James says, "and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You've made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You've put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the sea." Hallelujah. Now, as you look a little closer at that, the actual Hebrew words, it says, you've made him, God has made him, man, a little lower than the angels. Perhaps you may have heard this before, but and if not, it's an interesting illumination of the scripture. But the word there used for angels really shouldn't have been translated angels, because it's the Hebrew Elohim, which is the plural name of God. So what it says is, you've made him a little lower than Elohim, made him a little lower than God. You've made him have dominion over the works of your hands. You've put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, all beasts of the field, and so on. And the scripture is very clear that one day man, redeemed man, shall even judge angels. And it talks about presently that the angels now are really our servants. They're ministering servants to the heirs of salvation. So in many ways, this psalm that I've shared with you, these verses of Psalm 8, is really a commentary on Genesis 1 and 2. The word angels in verse 8 is the Hebrew word Elohim, God. So what is our place? It's under God and above the rest of creation. Now, there is, it's a perverse doctrine that's out, and it's so pervasive, some may not even recognize it, but secular humanism has so pervaded all aspects of our culture. And that basically says that man is equal or above God. Or if they don't even recognize God, that we're really kind of gods in our own right. And when we start thinking that way, man starts thinking that way, there's trouble. Every flaw of anthropology either presses us up too far to where we're God, we're divine, we're not sinners, we're basically good, that we're like God, or we're like our own little God, or it pushes us too far down where we're just basically animals, you know, we're just ruled by instincts like the animals. But the scriptures are very clear, beloved, that we are human beings crowned with glory and honor. He's given us dominion over all the works of his hands. And when you think of it, there is, I don't get out very much to see movies, but there, when I've seen previews, I mean, some of the movies that are out there, it shows the hero or heroine, they've got superhuman powers. I mean, like they fly through the air, they bounce. I mean, this is what, sells tickets. People love this superhero image. And really, you know, it's been around with us for a while. The original one is Superman. Remember him? Some of you older folks, you know, he goes into a phone booth and out he comes Superman, the humble Clark Kent. But we relate to that. Why? And part of it is because that's who we really are. We're identifying with the dominion and authority God has given us. But we are not like God. There are some cults today that basically say if you follow their prescribed, their rules, their regulations, that eventually when you die, you will become a god, have your own planet. And there's so much error out there. That's why I'm taking the time to share what the scriptures have to say. Beloved, we are to submit to God first. And then when we are submitted, he has given us a wonderful privilege to rule and have dominion. What we see today in a world which has rejected God in the most part, that we abuse creation. There's, the environmentalists, while there's many there's much that can be said in that arena, yet there are some valid points that we have not cared for our environment as we should have. They've definitely taken it too far, the environmentalists, in my personal opinion, but because we don't understand God, we don't understand His ways, and angels are basically astonished at the very creation of man, that we are God's glory, and His manifested presence will be seen upon us. That's when it talks about Adam and Eve were naked and not ashamed, because God's glory covered them. And when they sinned and disobeyed and rebelled, that glory departed. And it was then that they realized that they were naked. So, beloved, we have a tremendous privilege. We're image bearers of God. And I just spent a little bit of time defining what it means to be human. And every discipline, as I've shared previously, comes from this understanding, sociology, biology, history, anthropology, of what it doesn't mean to be man. What does it mean that we're in God's image? We're God-like, but in no way will we ever achieve the status of God Himself. We are not divine, and we will never be. And there's some errors in the body regarding this. We're partakers of the divine nature. We have a moral decision-making ability. We have dominion over the lower creation. We can have a great effect, positive or negative, on the environment and on that which we have to have dominion over, as the animals and plants and various species. We have social ability. We can write, we can communicate, we can speak. Look what we have done in the realm of technology. In a person's lifetime, if they were 100 years old, like at this moment, think about the changes that have been wrought in their lifetime. Television, and now what computers have done has... You talk about an increase of knowledge, amen? Also, we have emotions. We can feel things deeply. We have intellect. We have reason. We can think. We can learn. And we also have an immortal spirit. We will live forever. And like God, we have the ability to create. So I'm going to bring now this broadcast to a close, because my time is coming to an end. And on some future broadcasts, as the Lord directs, I'd like to share more on this subject about being God's image bearers, about the attributes we share with God, and about those that attributes that are unshared. But for now, I'll just thank you for listening, and I appreciate your prayer support, and also whatever financial help you can render. And I just bless you in the name of the Lord, and invite you to tune in tomorrow at the same time. God bless you. And until then, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best for every...
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.